The Knees Up by the Brown West Ham podcast is brought to you in association with 888sport.com/West Ham. And the offer this week is bet £10 on West Ham to beat Man City and get £315 back, because it's three times the odds on your first bet. James, thoughts?
It's worth a wager.
£10 bet, triple the odds, £315 return if West Ham beat Man City
this
weekend.
Easy money, that.
Yeah, that's 888sport.com/West Ham.
Dimitri Payet is certainly a special player. We've seen some more evidence of that tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players that we are not only Dimitri Payet. I mean, he was today and also in the games beforehand. But he is that kind of a player that is not only deciding games, whether through his goals or assists, key balls and that. No, 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 not only that he's good in a game, he's good. He's making all other players around him better. Actually better and more confident, which is the best thing that you can have from one player. And he's also he's hardworking. And as I said, it's not only him, of course, but he was tonight, he was brilliant again.
And now, having got back this morning from another night out with Frank McAvenny, it's the KUMB West Ham podcast with your hosts, James Longman and Chris Skull.
Hello and welcome to the Knees Up by the Brown West Ham podcast. We join you after a joyous victory over Newcastle last night. And joining us here in the studio, sports broadcaster extraordinaire and crucially West Ham fan, Matthew Lorenzo.
Hello, chaps. Very nice to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome. I grew up London tonight watching you. You were often the man to break the news to me how badly West Ham are performing. It's such an honour to have you here.
Thank you very much. I mean, throughout my broadcasting career, I've been violently neutral towards West Ham. You can't help it, can you, really? And I did it all the way through. And I think you can get... I mean, people who say they don't support a football team, but they work in football, they're telling fibs, aren't they? Yep, it's like referees who say they're neutral. You can't be neutral, can you? And there's nothing wrong with having a team.
No.
I wasn't aware of you supporting a team, but obviously, like, you must be hard on you reading out West Ham results or breaking the news of the latest disaster to befell us.
When Tevez and co arrived, I could not contain myself. I had to pinch myself and say, am I actually sitting here? Did I wake up properly this morning? That was one of the times when I was leaping around the Sky Sports News studio. That was a ridiculous headline, but we did well by it. Things like that. It's very difficult to keep tongue-in-cheek, but as I say, you know, if you don't support a football team, then there's something quietly wrong if you're talking about football or sport.
I think Frank Skinner said that never trust a man who doesn't like football.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that's a good basis to work on. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Newcastle game, victory there. We'll be looking at your West Ham ways that have come through. We're also going to have Mark Ward on the podcast a bit later. And a weekend of ex-hammers, James.
What's that? Every ex-hammer that left us scored.
Yeah.
Literally everyone scored this weekend. Yeah.
Well, maybe that'll just mould into our new feature, the West Ham way, which we'll be talking about a little later on as well. But let's begin with some feedback. James, what have you got for us?
Well, there's a few little bits. James Maker tweeted in, who listened from his honeymoon in Mauritius, and I love his story. He was told, whilst walking up the aisle, that we were 1-0 up against Liverpool. And then during the wedding breakfast, there were shouts of 2-0 and 3-0 from various guests. And he said it was the icing on the cake of an amazing day with new wife, Lucy Maker. Knee Vicarous. So he got married and had a West Ham win at Anfield and marriage. What a day. 50-50. Some pros and cons.
And the Lord taketh away.
Well, congratulations to Lucy and to James.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Kiwi Hammer sent a good pick of the group of them watching Newcastle.
Yeah, all the Kiwis have been getting in touch and they're watching the Newcastle match with their group of Flight Le Concorde's lookalikes.
Yeah.
I'm certain Murray was in there watching.
And actually, Matt, we were chatting outside and you were saying you're not most up to date with social media, but I don't know if you're aware, there's a a character called ex-West Ham employee. He operates on Twitter, and he's this anonymous kind of figure, and he somehow gets all the latest news and gossip. And then yesterday, when we were at the game, James and I were queuing up for a rib roll, but then it started raining, so we quit. And this mysterious ex-West Ham employee spotted me leaving, and spotted us in the rain, like departing from the rib roll. So this mysterious character, obviously, he walks amongst us.
He walks amongst us. He could be in here. He's an in the know, essentially. So he tweets all the transfer gossip. So he's generally on the money with it all. But nobody knows who he is, including
like
the club.
Very ex. I mean, he could still be in there.
Somehow, yeah.
It's like the secret football. I don't know who that is, but I suspect there's about four of them.
Yes,
working on that.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, you know, it's good to get something alternative, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he's good.
I mean, that's a conspiracy. What if there is actually? It's not just one guy.
Secret footballer.
Yeah, or ex-West Ham.
What if it's programmed by the board? I mean, if they're in on it, that's a whole new conspiracy.
We did ask the Sullivan kids, and they were like, "We've no idea who he is," but it doesn't mean he's not within.
Oh, the plot thickens.
It's like it felt a little bit like in Seven with Kevin Spacey as John Doe, someone watching and waiting in the shadows while we tried to get a rib roll.
Phone booth with Colin Farrell. That's essentially what it became. Excellent. All right, we'll keep your feedback coming in. Here's how you can get in touch with the show.
Get in touch with the show. Email us at podcast@kumb.com. Join the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag KUMBpod. Or why not follow us? Chris is at CJSSkull with a C. James is at Longers1. And Graham, editor of KUMB, is at KUMB.com. If you're on Facebook, be sure to join the KUMB group for all the latest news and gossip. There's also the KUMB forum for all kinds of chatter. Simply go to KUMB.com and click forum. Finally, join the KUMB podcast mailing list. Click this podcast link on KUMB.com and sign up for exclusive content from the studio. And be the first to know about upcoming live shows. Come on, you Irons.
All right, let's move on now and talk about the Newcastle game last night, Matt. I mean, as a West Ham fan, it's great to get off the mark at home. And the atmosphere at the moment seems very different to what it was last season under Big Sam. How do you feel about all things West Ham at the moment in the light of that victory over Newcastle?
I think it was terrific. I was a bit worried, having to say that we'd lost two home games on the trot and all we'd done is smash Arsenal and Liverpool by way of return. So I really couldn't predict how that one was going to go. But I think they did serious business in the transfer window. Our bench for that game was pretty impressive, never mind who they turned out. And I thought, well, you know, it's very difficult to look through your West Ham tinted spectacles and be objective, but I was never in any doubt. I was having to watch it at home because my publicity people are saying for the film, which we'll talk about later, that you have to tweet all day long. Well, if you go to a game, you're going to get a signal. So I'm sitting there at home tweeting all manner of I was going to use a rude word there, but not very intelligent stuff. But it looked to me, and the point I'm making is that Martin Tyler was obviously selling the game to the neutral, because I don't think there was anything neutral about that. And as Alan Shearer came out and said, you know, they'd been better off playing with 10 men and leaving Cissé back on the coach than what happened. There was no problem with that. I love the fact they had to walk a mile to the ground as well.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, do you remember Stephen Gerrard last season that he moaned about parking, and that was only like 100 yards. But when we got there, the Newcastle coach was just turning up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. So did anyone see them walking the street? Did they just walk down Green Street?
I can't imagine that they could just shift down. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Hello, lads. You know,
just walk past the bowling.
Pop in, yeah. Have a quick half and then carry on. I can't believe they must have had some sort of escort.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, because when the coach turned up, it had the police escort, and then they always have. It's always difficult reversing the coaches into that car park, which is the main issue. I think the players are on it. They kind of just wandered down past Ken's calf.
You'd see the pictures, surely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe that.
No.
But James, excellent result, 2-0.
Excellent result. As Matthew says, the squad depth is really pleasing. Like a week before that transfer window closed, the panic on Twitter and on the forums was immense, and suddenly we've got a squad that is exciting. And whereas a few weeks ago we looked at the bench and it was all players from last season, suddenly we look at a bench, we've got new exciting players, we've got options, and that's so exciting to see. Mm. You know, bringing on a bit of class, bringing on Andy Carroll, you know, it's so exciting to see. So I feel really good. I mean, it's a good performance. There's still, defensively, we still made a few mistakes and gave him a few too many chances, but going forward, it looks so exciting.
How did you think transfer deadline day went, Matt? Were you pleased with our business?
Four very good bits of business there. I was very impressed. I think, you know, the board are obviously concerned that we've got to be in the Premier League when we go into the new stadium. And so they are flashing the cash. But I think they did it very... I don't know who advises them on that. There's so many people involved. I would hope to think that Slaven Bilic was at the helm. So, yes, I thought it was good business. I'd like to see all of them playing last night. But anyway, as I say, we've got it, as you say, we've got it in strength, which is very reassuring.
Mm. One bit of business we did earlier in the summer, Dimitri Payet, who was really man of the match last night, an absolute star, James. I mean, he is the toast of the Premier League, isn't he?
Everyone is
drooling over him right now.
He looks a real deal. He's so exciting going forward. He's got work rate. Watching on Sky last night when I got back, there's a lot of comparisons to Tevez. You know, and that kind of the work rate, the passion, you know, the tackles, the skill. Even the second goal, it wasn't an easy finish. You know, rebounded off a crossbar and he had to control it in. He looks great.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. They were both good goals, but the second one, it's one of those you could have skied and been forgiven for. What is with every West Ham player of any class, the next thing you think is, when's someone going to nick him?
Yeah.
And I saw, I looked up Reece Oxford. I googled Reece Oxford, wanted to know more about the kid a couple of days ago. And Reece Oxford tapped by Man City. It was a piece in The Guardian, was actually a flyer, was a supposedly humorous piece, but you know, it made my heart drop. But you just wonder about anybody.
How long?
Well, how long, basically, before we become the sort of club that nicks other people's players?
Yes.
And I would hope, and this is a whole new discussion, but if we go to the new ground and we become the venue of choice in London, it won't be the Emirates anymore for your corporate spenders, we will be the place. So I'm hoping that, you know, the reality could actually happen and we could be a top club and we can, you know, nick other people's players.
Yeah, that'd I hope nice. We learn from Tottenham. Because what Tottenham have done is sold their best players consistently. And it hasn't worked out for them. So I hope we've learned. I think our board seem quite sensible in that they want to hold on to the younger players. We're buying younger players. We're buying more dynamic and exciting players. And I just think we're going to learn. And with the move about to happen, it seems, as a player, you'd think this is quite an exciting time. A massive stadium. It could all happen for us.
Yeah, there was an article today on Twitter I noticed about someone writing that Dimitri Payet was worth the entrance fee, and it's the first time they've been able to say that for a while. In terms of excitement, I think I agree with that. It's been a while, maybe, I'm thinking of Tevez, but it's been a while since you've been willing to pay that money to see someone like Payet go out there and be like a really exciting, creative player. Which is really good. Another man who made his debut last night, a new signing, Victor Moses, I wanted to talk about because, Matt, he looks the real deal. I don't remember him being this good at Stoke, but last night he seemed incredible.
Well, he's in the right family now, isn't he? He's got the right framework around him. I don't know. But anyway, I tell you what I tweeted. I was tweeting all manner of rubbish because they were telling me to tweet. And I did observe...
Mysterious they.
Yeah.
My
ex-West Ham employee.
Yeah. I just watched the second goal and the way he broke and the way they connected and combined. I thought there are flashes of Brooking and Devonshire there, which, yeah, marks me out.
Big names.
Yeah, they are big names. But, I mean, that's why I'm, again, I don't know if I'm wandering off the point, but my heyday for West Ham was in the 80s. And seeing those two together was a thing of joy. It was a thing of absolute beauty. And now I delight in... When people ask me who's your favourite footballer, I go, Alan Devonshire.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, who? And the thing about Dev is he was class. And in tandem with Brooking, he was absolutely brilliant. And what I enjoy more than ever is that I've been privileged to go to the posh bits at West Ham, if there are such a thing. And you go in through the main door and you get those girls saying, welcome to West Ham United. And they take your ticket. And then Dev will go back out to sign a few autographs. But the thing about Dev is that he's not aged well.
I mean, he looks completely different as well.
He looks like Alan Devonshire's dad. So he'll go out there, sign a few autographs to the cognoscenti, and he'll come back in and they'll say, welcome to West Ham United, and they'll ask for his ticket again, which I think is an absolute crime. That's my favourite player, one of the best players ever to wear a West Ham shirt. I don't know how I got onto this, but anyway.
Exciting players.
Dev and Brooking, there were. I hope that we can get that back together with this team.
I think I went to one of those dinners with the 1980s team, and I think that Devonshire, they all call him Grandad. I think that's what Tony Cow and Tony Cotty would call him, because, as you say, he's seen better days.
Gailey and Cotty, they take the mickey out of us. We're the only team in the world that celebrates finishing third. And Cotty and Gailey orchestrate this. Now, I don't know if you've been to any of their dinners. They're a real laugh. But I tell you, towards Christmas last year, the pair of them were bricking it. Because they thought, we could do better than third.
We mentioned that last night, actually.
Who, that conversation.
Like the 1966 World Cup team, there must be an element of them saying, I hope we never win anything while we're still alive, because we won't get wheeled out anymore. And the 85-86 team have that kind of thing. If we finish above them, if a team finishes second or wins something, they're going to be, what are we going to do?
The thing is, obviously, love the 86 team, we've met a lot of them, but if we finish third this season and in 2045 they're having a dinner about it, I mean, I don't want to, that's not a world I want to live in.
We're making this film about Bobby Moore. We'll talk about it later, but it's been 2 years in the planning, and last year the World Cup, of course, and I'm just thinking to myself quietly, if England win the World Cup, we are in a spot. Luckily,
we had the boys, exact conversation.
They done us proud. Two games and they were out, so it's fantastic.
What I want to say about Moses, as well as attacking with pace and his strength, was his reaction when Payet scored. He held his fate. He was gutted that he didn't finish that goal. He literally put his head in his hands.
They all went up to him.
Because it was such a great run. He was actually gutted.
Yeah.
But he looked great. And he just needs a bit of match fitness, doesn't he? Because he ran out of steam towards the end. But he looks really good.
Matt, what did you make of Cole Jenkinson? Because he's just come back from suspension. And I thought the game against Bournemouth was one of the worst games I've ever seen a West Ham player have, ever. It's really nice. It felt like he had a kind of calm performance. What did it look like for you?
Well, the thing is, he didn't mark himself out, put it that way. I watched the Bournemouth game and Cresswell in particular, I couldn't understand what was going on there. You were saying that if there was betting involved, they must have paid those two to kick the wrong way. It was stunning. But last night, the fact that I had nothing to make note of would seem to indicate that he's back on there. And Tyler, again, I keep going on about Martin, but he keeps going on about he's had one game in an England shirt and he's obviously looking to get back in there. He said that during the Bournemouth game. Blimey. How could you possibly do worse?
Yeah. It was a horror show.
Well, we were talking about Tyler. We were having this conversation last night. Have you heard the commentary for the Liverpool-Man United game that Martin Tyler got a lot of stick about? When Benteke scores an overhead kick from the edge of the area and he goes, goal to Liverpool. And then Man United, this Marshall scores a goal and he apparently has an orgasm.
do you
think it was unfair, the kind of attention?
I was listening to that and I think he gave it that matter of moment when Benteke scored a fantastic goal. And you know, with Martin, he's thinking about those trails that they put out all bloody day long on Sky. And then he's thinking, this is the one they're going to record and they're going to put out. So I think he gave that full moment. But when your £36 million man popped in for that one, I don't think that's £36 million repaid, by the way. We'll have to see a few more of those.
A
great goal.
Yeah. Lastly, Andy Carroll coming back last night. I mean, he only played 5 minutes, but Matt, I mean, doesn't it fill your heart with joy to see the big man back?
Over 3 minutes injury free. Well, the thing is about Andy Carroll is that if you get over this injury hoodoo, whatever you want to call it, he's a great player. If you watch him, or you have watched him, he never ever misses a header. Any time he goes up for a header, he gets it. And what's more, he's great on the deck. And I would love to see him get the run that he deserves. I think he's a great player, and obviously he's getting a lot of flack from other fans and whatever, and he's earning a good screw. I think Sam sorted that out for him. But, I think he could earn his money in the next season.
Mm. Yes, I hope so. There's always that. We all will him to do so well. We all want him to do so well. He got such a good reception when he was warming up and when he came on. And there was that there was two moments. One, with his first touch, he almost destroyed the goalkeeper. And the second one was he chased back straight away for a corner. He's defensive. He's really got that in mind. He's got, he gets back, he wins headers, but he chased back and kind of slid in from behind. Quite a hefty challenge. And I thought, oh no,
got away with it, didn't he?
Yeah, but I just don't want him to do that. He didn't need to. There's 10 players there.
You can't mollycoddle him. This is
no, you can, but that's running into our The guy's attacking into our half. There's 10 players to do that job. He doesn't need to run in and slide in from the back. He needs to protect himself a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, I see there's obviously a lot of comparisons with Jack Wilshere, who today's been announced is out for until Christmas, possibly, and have an operation on his leg. And you do wonder about Carroll. Has he had so many injuries that the next injury is inevitable? Do you think, Matt, he can go on a run now of fitness?
Well, if there's a mathematical theorem or whatever, you say he's going to get another injury soon. I hope that's not true. What I'm really keen on is his interior design skills. Have you seen?
Yes.
You must have,
yeah.
That his left Instagram. Me gobsmacked.
I'd use the word garish. Remarkable.
Yeah. You can't buy style. No. That's what's taught us.
We should mention Tompkins. He was excellent. Mm. I thought he had an excellent game yesterday. I thought him and Piatt were my standout. I thought they were great. Yeah. And Randolph, can he be dropped? Will he be dropped? Adrian's back. I don't know. I don't think he should be. I thought he made a few good saves yesterday. In fact, Sky made it look like it was all Newcastle. And I don't think it was. I thought he played really well. He did good saves. There's two clean sheets on the trot. Can he be dropped?
I don't know, Matt. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad I'm not a manager. We all think we could be a manager, and I wouldn't mind the money, and I'll even take the job security. It's the same in my game. But I wouldn't like to make that decision. I think he's played okay, and I would tend to go with the feeling that if you're doing okay, then why change anything?
Mm. Yeah. Well,
yes.
We'll find out.
And so we should just mention, David Sullivan mentioned it on the podcast the other week. McLaren could have been our manager.
Mm, he was first choice when we appointed Avram Grant.
No, it was Bilic, wasn't it? Bilic was first choice.
Oh, right, yeah.
He wanted too much money to spend. McLaren was second choice and turned it down to go to Wolfsburg.
Mm.
He could have been our manager.
And
just a little food for thought.
And also, of course, the last time those two were on the touchline together, England,
Wembley.
Croatia.
I was there for that as well.
And Matt, having done quite a few international games in your career, I mean, where does that one rank among the best?
Yeah, fairly low. The thing is, I went to the game last week, the Switzerland game, and of course Wayne done it, and it was marvellous, and that lifted the whole thing. But how poor were we in the first half? I mean, how much more do we have to pull on people's patriotism and wallets to watch that sort of stuff? I'm going to get in trouble here, but we've been on this record-breaking, unbeaten run, and I think we're going to get thumped in the Euros. I can't see that there's any... But having said that, they had the chance there, already qualified. I don't know if they were risking the record. Maybe that's what they're thinking. But we could have really, you know, turned them over. We could have gone for it. But it was so sideways. And anyway.
That's just England under Roy Hodgson. Just, you know, we're going down this alley. I can't stand Roy Hodgson as England manager. We've played awfully. We've got the worst best record in international football.
Let's save this for our England podcast.
Okay.
That we don't do. Best start in 7 years. I'll just kind of throw that in before we move on to next.
For West Ham?
Yes.
I mean, it would have been so much better had we beat Bournemouth and Leicester at home.
And you know, think about where we are now, considering how we felt post-Leicester and post-Bournemouth.
There was some stat about, and I can never remember stats properly, but we've scored more goals in our opening games of this season than we did in the second half of last.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. That is remarkable.
It's remarkable.
Super Slav. Even gets a song.
Yeah.
Things could be on the up.
Excellent.
No, you can't seriously be thinking that, can you?
No. Man City, Norwich.
Yes.
Easy. 6 points.
Well, Matt, it's an absolute delight to have you here in the studio with us. As we've kind of touched upon earlier in the episode, you're a big West Ham fan. And of course, you're working on this new Bobby Moore documentary, which is on Kickstarter now, raising the last little bit of funding. How's things going generally with that?
Yeah, I got my publicity. I love saying that. My people, I'll get that bit out of the way. Kickstarter.com, go to the Bobby Moore page or go to our website, bobbymooremovie.com. The thing about it is, we started this 2 years ago, and I was saying telling you earlier on, it's not a bad idea. Let's do Bobby Moore, and it's 2 years' time. It'll be the 50th anniversary of the World Cup. And I tried for Pele. I know people, I knew Paul Kemsley, who looks after him now, and said, any chance? We got a half-hour interview with Pele. We didn't pay for it. He was fantastic. Took pictures with my kids, who made them, you know, players of the month at their school, which was fantastic. And he couldn't have been better. And I thought, well, we've gone to the top. How difficult could the rest be? And it hasn't been difficult. I mean, I've been left Sky 7 years ago. You were maybe know about the freelance world, you have an idea on a Monday, and by Thursday, some of the world's leading authorities have told you to get lost.
Yep.
But no one said it with this one, so it's just rolled. And we got the support of the FA, which was great. We got Greg Dyke to talk about his forebears who didn't do right by Bobby and to admit same. We got both wives on board. And the lucky thing for me was that I grew up with Bobby. My dad was a journalist, Peter Lorenzo. You won't remember, but he was a number one, as they call him, on Fleet Street. And he was the first commentator on ITV. So he and Bobby were great mates. So as a result, the England captain would come around our house for a cup of tea every now and then, which is not bad when you're a schoolboy. And we go on holiday together. So because I knew him, but stop me if I'm going on too much, but no. Because I knew him, I had access to the people that knew him and that loved him, so the families and the journalists and the players. But I always thought, I followed in my dad's footsteps, and I was working at Sky, and I would say things to my boss like, why don't we get Bobby on this weekend, talk about the football? And my boss would say, nah, it's a bit old, you know, it's a bit old, you know, blah. And you cannot believe this attitude existed. And that stuck with me. And sure enough, he dies. He's working for Capital Radio. No offence to Capital Radio. He's working with David Sutton, who actually gave him a job.
Yeah,
nobody else did on the sport. He applied for a role, just a role within the England setup, saying, I think I've got something to offer. The FA didn't even reply. Bad things happen at lower league clubs. How can somebody who's been the only person ever to lift the World Cup for our national football team and, you know, 106 caps and play so well, be rejected like he was? So that hit me then, and, you know, 20 years on, I thought, let's redress the balance. So that's been the main kicker, if you like, to get him what he deserves. So interrupt me if you like, I don't mind, but he never got a knighthood. And Jeff Hurst got one, and I, you know, I've been working with Jeff on this, and I've known Jeff almost as long as I knew Bobby Moore, and he can't understand why he never got one. Bobby Charlton got one, and I'm sure he would say the same. And you can't get a posthumous knighthood unless you're in the military. Now, you can't tell me that laws can't be changed. And if you're going to be cynical about it, Mr. Cameron, who probably doesn't have as firm a grip on the common working man as maybe you ought to have.
But he is a West Ham fan.
He's a West Ham and an Aston Villa fan. Anybody else you tell him he's a fan of? If he couldn't see the votes in getting that law changed, and that would be terrific for me to get Bobby the knighthood. He's so obviously deserves.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a Bobby Moore documentary like long ago, and what do you think are the reasons behind it? I mean, when we were looking at it, it seemed to me that the Premier League was just dawning. There was a kind of new era of football really dawning in this country. I kind of thought that maybe the time hadn't caught up yet, where they were started giving away knighthoods, and that there was that kind of there was the funds or the interest to kind of create a hero of someone like Bobby Moore who'd won the World Cup with England. Was he just really unfortunate to have died in 93? Do you think all that stuff would have come along?
Didn't help. I mean, pre-Premier League football was pretty shoddy. It was Hillsborough, Heysel, and there were hooligans running around, you know, and it wasn't fashionable, if you like. So you're right on that score. I think closer to when he retired, there were people at the FA whose egos were billowing around the place, and they were a bit worried about somebody who'd actually done something coming in. So there was that sort of thing. Also, Bobby was, his name was mixed with bad elements in life, if you like. He had business dealings that went wrong, and, you know, in the film that's examined and he's exonerated, but all of that doesn't help. But you're right about the timing of these things. You look at Beckham, and you look at Wayne Rooney. Funnily enough, Wayne Rooney wants to be involved in the film. We're talking to Paul Stretford about it, his agent. Wayne, there are similarities there. The working class lads who've done well with themselves. And Rooney gives an awful lot of money to charity, which he doesn't brag about. He seriously doesn't tell people about. And I'm quite happy to tell people that I know that he does. And he sees the link between himself and Bobby Moore. And, you know, I think it would be a good idea for him to get involved.
Yeah. Get Wayne Rooney talking about Bobby Moore? That'd be amazing.
Well, we got him on the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's saying that, you know, he obviously didn't see him play live, and he's seen the video and whatever, and he's an admirer. He said, I'd love it if people were talking about us in 50 years' time. Good luck, Wayne.
Yeah.
Wait till after the documentaries come out and then win something.
Yeah. So how can people get involved with the documentary once more?
Well, you're pressing on my social media and
Kickstarter
knowledge. But if you go to the Kickstarter website, you'll find the Bobby Moore movie. Or perhaps easier, if you go to bobbymooremovie.com, it'll lead you to the page. And the thing is, all right, we're asking for money. So you get perks, as they call it, in return, like two tickets to the PFA dinner, a signed Brazil shirt, come and see Pelé being interviewed, things like that. But if what would really please me is you can't just say I'm a follower, but for a quid you can say exactly that. If you put a quid in, it would show that you're in support of Bobby Moore getting the knighthood, seeing the film come out, and it would make me realise that the last 2 years have been worth doing.
And there's also we touched about just outside before we started this that your people have said you're going to do a Reddit Ask Me Anything. When was it? This weekend?
Saturday. At some point.
Saturday.
I'm glad you said it, because I couldn't remember my lines there. Yeah, it's 3:30, I'm told, before the Man City game. And you can ask me anything
on the West Ham subreddit on Reddit.
You say it again, because I
check that out.
Yeah.
So 3:30 this Saturday, Matthew Lorenzo, Reddit, subreddit. Awesome.
We have a lot of young people who listen. They'll know exactly what we're doing.
Down with the kids.
Young people.
A lot of youth.
Shall we call Mark Ward?
Yes.
So joining us now, we've got a West Ham winger, much loved hero of the 86 team, Mark Ward.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, very well. You were down there last night. We noticed you on the pitch at half-time, Mark. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, it was great to be invited. The game, great result. I fancied West Ham last night after being up at Anfield a few weeks ago and witnessing them winning 3-0. But great to see all the boys from 86 as well last night. And, you know, we all went onto the pitch and done a little bit in the lounges and that. So it was to celebrate our victory in 86 of 8-1, which was a very famous game.
I thought when you said that we all went out on the pitch, I thought you were going to say we all went out on the piss, because TC was suggesting McAvaney had had a few beers.
Well, I did have a few beer drinks with Frank after we'd been on the pitch, and you know, it was you know, I've had plenty of them in the past, and obviously everyone knows that we signed on the same day, and you know, that season of 86 was fantastic. But you know, it was great result last night, and I think they've had a great start.
What do you think about the new additions that Bilic has made to the squad?
Well, I was up in a couple of the boxes and sat with Frank, and we had a talk, and I was talking to one of the agents who brought Payet and Sarko there, and obviously when he scored the second goal, his eyes lit up again, because it was as if like another couple of notes were put on at the end of his how much he's worth, you know what I mean? So he's had a great start. Some great signings. I thought Moses has done well, and I was a bit worried because I thought, you know, they've gone out there and they spent the money and have they just bought players for the sake of it, and will they all gel together? And the results have come. Obviously the Bournemouth game and the Leicester game were disappointments, but you know, they've got that first win now at home, and hopefully they'll just go on and do very, very well this season, I hope.
We were having a chat earlier, Mark. Are you worried that this team might eclipse the achievements of the side of 85, 86 at this stage?
Are you pissed now or what? Listen, I'm telling you now, we were in the lounge last night in Sun Park, so that our team would still beat that team. So that, you know, if we put our team out, we'd beat them. We'd beat them easily. and I think Phil was saying, you know, he said last night when he got up on the in the Legends lounge, he said, we wouldn't just beat them. He said, we'd beat them by 3. He said, so it's like this. You look, it's very hard to gauge between generations, and I know it was a long time ago, but I think, you know, player for player as well, as you look through the side, I think you probably pick a lot more of our players than the team from last night. But I don't want to get into all that. That's just all of our opinions as well. We had a very fantastic team.
And what is it like being down? We don't have many of those nights left, but bowling under the lights is always quite a special time. What's it like to see it being down there? Do you miss it?
Well, I am going to miss it. And over the last, well, since I finished playing, I've always been invited to West Ham. You know, I am an Evertonian hammer. You know, I'm an Evertonian through and through, but I love my West Ham. And every time I go there, and welcomed in open arms, and you know, part of the West Ham family and the history, and I'm so proud of that. It's just a pity that season, everyone remembers it, that we just didn't have, you know, the luck really at the end to clinch the title. But you know, we go down as legends, and it's a bit false as far as I'm concerned, because we only finished third, and but it's the highest I've ever finished. And I remember last season when they were flying high, people were saying, "Oh, can we finish in the top six?" And I said, I remember saying to Mick, your mate now whom staying with his son Gary, all big West Ham fans, and I think West Ham was 16 points ahead of Everton, and I had a little bet, I had a bullseye that we'd finish above West Ham, because they always do, Everton, and obviously we bet come up, because I think we finished above West Ham by one goal or something, or two goals. So I think the West Ham fans can get carried away at times, because of you know, they're so desperate for success, and you know, when they were in the top four last season, was it you know, they were saying that they were really fancying themselves, and I think after beating Liverpool and Arsenal, you know, they've got to be realistic, and I think a top, you know, top 10 or even a top 6 finish would be our outstanding season for them.
We've been asking this of everyone who comes on the podcast, but obviously this is the last season at Upton Park. How much are you going to miss it, and what are your special memories of the place?
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to sign from Oldham Athletic, and I just love playing there. It's a great theatre for football, because the crowd was so close to you, and the atmosphere was electric in the evening games. And you know, we were talking collectively last night, and I said to Tony and Frank, I said, you know what, I've played for some big teams afterwards and some great players, I said, but it's the only team I played in the second half of the season that when we're going out at Upton Park, and you know, the night games or even Saturday afternoon, it was like, if not if we were going to win, but how many are we going to win by today? You know what I mean? That's how confident and good the team was. You know, how many Frank and Tony going to get today? And that's the way it was. But I'll miss the atmosphere, because you're not going to be able to get like that anywhere in the world, never mind the Olympic Stadium. And, you know, it's progress, we're moving on. To be honest, I'd rather be still at Upton Park, but it's not to be. And I'll be there as many times as I can be this season. I'm at the Norwich game, and I'm at the Everton game. And hopefully, I'll be at the last game. I know it's against Swansea, so hopefully I'll get an invite, or I'm sure I'll be there on the day.
Wardy, Matt here. I was just telling the lads about how Gailey and Cotty were a bit worried about the boys of 86 running out of steam before Christmas last year. They were worried about they might have had a West Ham team that was going to finish second or even first, but luckily they did us proud and didn't quite.
Yeah, it's just, you know, West Ham are desperate for success, especially in league positions. And, you know, there was one fact, Matt, that Dev, I think he brought it up not long ago. When was the last time they finished with a plus goal difference? And it was 1986. You know, look at the record. They finished fifth, I think, under Harry, but they were still minus goals at the end of the season. So, and someone asked me the question, it was a while back, I'd done something, and they were saying, why do you think that is, Mark? I said, because in 86, I don't know what our goal difference was, but it was well in the pluses. And I think what it was, we could go away from home and win 1-0. You know what I mean? Parks, he'd have an outstanding game, but we were very good defensively. And but when we did get in front, we nailed them. Like Chelsea 4-0 away, you know, Newcastle 8-1 at home. Well, there's 12 goals, isn't there? You know what I mean? So, you know, we didn't let them get up. We were ruthless in that aspect of finishing games off, especially at home. And I think sides, you know, it was a big surprise to me when I found out that fact, and that they've never had a plus goal difference at the end of the season since 86. So it just shows you how difficult it is.
Well, hopefully that might all change when we move to the Olympic Stadium and create some new memories.
They're doing okay at the moment with the plus. I think the plus five now or something like that. So, but you know, it's a long old season, and you know, I'm excited that we will win games. And you know, I think the Leicester, it's proved that Leicester have been a good side, and what a good team they've been this season. They've lost there and Bournemouth, but you know, Slaven's done well, and with Julian there as well to help them out. It all goes well.
Excellent, and thank you as well for all the fantastic memories you've given us down Upton Park down the years.
Not a problem.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers.
As we touched on earlier in the show, the Knees Up Mother Brown West Ham podcast is brought to you by 888sport.com. And West Ham play Man City this weekend at the Etihad Stadium. And if, James, if you were to put £10 on West Ham to beat Man City, you get triple the odds on your first bet and it will pay out £315 should West Ham beat Man City. Do you think that is a bet you will be placing?
That is one round for me.
Your high-class clubs. And you too could afford to drink with James Longman if you won that bet. Man City away this weekend. £10 bet, triple the odds, gets you £315. That's 888sport.com/West Ham. Okay, Mark Ward there. Fantastic memories.
That's interesting. That, do you think 85-86 team would beat this team? That's an interesting thought.
Well, apparently it's 2-0 according to Mark Ward.
There wasn't any doubt in his mind, was there?
tweet us or email us. Who do you think would win, this team or the 85-86 team?
Podcast at kumb.com. We should touch on ex-Hammers having an amazing weekend last weekend. Maiga, hat-trick, Jarvis having the game of his life. Barami, wham with him.
He got sent off. I was watching Sky Sports on Saturday afternoon, obviously with us without a match, and it's just constant updates with ex-West Ham players. Jarvis obviously scored a well-taken goal. Brahmi sent off. Downing scored. Sears scored. Moncur scored. And Lansbury scored. That is a hell of a weekend for West Ham players.
Are we cursed, Matt?
No, it's the academy, isn't it? We just supply them.
It is. One thing I'm going to quickly say, Downing, zip it. Stop going on about it. He keeps coming out with more comments about West Ham and why he went to Middlesbrough and that we can't do very well and he wants to be challenging for something. I don't know why he's doing it. Leave. I've got good memories of him. Just why keep talking?
Where do you stand on Downing, Matt?
I was surprised that he went. We never really know the ins and the outs, but he was one that I would have kept on performances, you know, over the seasons. And I don't know why he's gobbing off. Because the deal's done and it happens all the time and people have short memories, or they should have short memories about that sort of thing, especially in view of the fact that we've done quite well since.
Downing, as Sullivan told us to our faces, wanted to go. He called him up five times, was it, saying, "I want to leave, let me go." So why, he was allowed to leave, why keep going on about it? Anyway, mystery. That annoys me because I liked him and now I don't.
And now we've got this new feature called West Ham Way of the Week, where we ask you to send in things that could only have happened to West Ham, i.e. something that is the West Ham way. James Chatterton, as I just mentioned, Maiga scoring a hat-trick on his debut in Saudi Arabia. I mean, come on. West Ham Way of the Week there. Gary Chambers beating Arsenal away and then going after Barton earlier this season. Big George.
Billy Bonds quoted about the West Ham Way, style over winning. And apparently Billy Bonds said, "All that happy losers stuff is cobblers. I hate losing."
We also had HCAT83 on Twitter get in touch. "My great granddad played for Thames Ironworks in 1895, so I have 120 years of agony in my blood. Albert Catling played 3 times at right back. Someone took it off Wikipedia. Might start fading like
Back to the Future."
Back to the Future.
I love that. I got really excited about that. Henry, his great granddad played for Thames Ironworks. Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Got really excited about that. Yeah, and he said that someone's taken it off Wikipedia, so he's going to try and get it back. But that is good. He's got it in his blood. That is a great story.
Who else have we got?
Dave Blackwell emailed in. This is quite dark, but also my favourite.
"I work part-time as a carer, and it was really painful last season to go to work on Mondays to have the piss taken out of me by a room full of people with learning disabilities." Dave in Portsmouth. I mean, was that West Ham Way of the Week?
It's the PC Way of the Week, that's for sure.
You actually said to me at the start, "Did you read them all?" And I hadn't.
He's a carer, he's a good man, he has a good job, and he's still getting the mick taken out of him.
Good. Pete Harcourt, "Every time I go to West Ham, I always put £1 on 4-3 each way. He was running late for the Bournemouth game, so I didn't." That's his West Ham way.
Yeah, but I think that's just being a muppet.
Yeah. Dan Slevin, another Kiwi, "No, it's the missing apostrophe and it's what we're here for, a contraction of it is what we are here for, not to mention the missing full stop after winning."
There's been a lot of talk about the punctuation on that sign. It's a sign in the dressing room. It says winning is what we're here for. There's a lot of talk about punctuation on that sign. That's been auctioned off, that sign, as well, at the end of this season. That's gone.
And then lastly, Richard Archbold, "I listened to your new feature this morning on the way to work. I have always thought that this thing typifies West Ham, is that one of the things that typifies West Ham is shortly after signing signing Carlos Tevez, surely one of the best shirt sellers in club's history. The club shop sold out of the letter V. So as a Premiership club, we could not even source some letters.
Yeah, he sent a picture of a sign up on the window that says we are out of a letter V. So they've got Tevez, but no Vs. There's very a lot of T's on the back of shirts. That is an excellent example.
Yeah, Matt, any West Ham ways that you've thought down the years thought, well, that could only happen to West Ham?
I just love the crowd at West Ham. They're quite brilliant. I've only played on the pitch there once. I'm not a very good footballer. It makes me a professional hypocrite. But Stevie Potts had a testimonial. 1997 it was. There was Rod Stewart, David Essex, Bradley Walsh. I couldn't miss the chance to play. Yeah. And we're in the dressing room and they said, who's going to play in goal? I thought, I'll play in goal, because I thought, I can't play outfield. No, I could just prance about in the goal. And I put my goalkeeper shirt over my West Ham shirt. This is my excuse, by the way. And I ran out onto the pitch. I was doing my warm-up exercises and blah, blah, blah. And this voice behind me in the Bobby Moore stand went, oi, Matt. And I'd read in various footballers' biographies, you don't talk to the crowd. You know, you just go, Matt. Anyway, 8 mats later, I turn around. I said, what? He goes, would you like another pie?
They've got such good bands, haven't they, West Ham?
Fans? Yes. Very good bands. There were some good chances last night, actually.
So, reveal, what is the West Ham way of the week? What's your pick out?
Well, I think mine has to be the Moses reaction. I mean, a West Ham player seems we'd score a goal and look disappointed. That seems to be a West Ham moment.
Yeah, agreed. Get in touch with your West Ham way of the week, podcast@kumb.com. Up next, we've got Man City. But actually, before we touch on that, Matt, we asked Mark Ward then what his bowling memories are. What for you are the standout, obviously it's our last season at Upton Park, what for you are the standout memories?
I think the further away they are, the more rose-tinted it becomes. I used to go to the North Bank. What I loved about standing on the North Bank is that you could get there whatever time you like, but your space was always there. And even though, you know, you weren't in marked seats or whatever, the people around you were the same people. I used to love the fact that Percy Dalton's bloke would come and sling the bag over to you. And other things, that I was privileged because my dad was a reporter, so he used to take me there. And there was no question of a ticket. He'd have one. And we'd walk up, and there'd be those commissionaires with all the gear on and the hats, and there'd be about 92. And he'd go, all right, Eric. And Eric would go, oh, fine, Pete. He goes, how's Mabel? And I thought, that is class. He's got Eric's name, but he's got his wife's name. Mm. And we just got swept in. And I do miss that sort of thing about football. It wasn't a commercial enterprise then. It was based on far calmer virtues, if you like, far nicer virtues. I do miss that.
Mm. Yeah, we have lost some of that, haven't we, I suppose. Modern football. We're going to a team that spent a lot of money in Man City, Matt. This was a game that the chairman said it's the one fixture he doesn't feel like we could get something out of this season, Man City away. What is your predictions for what will befell us this weekend?
Well, I tend to disagree there because I was busy tweeting
nonsense.
My publicity people's follow. I don't know what I was doing.
But it's like entourage.
The team of hundreds.
Yeah, as I stepped out of my trailer. I was getting very excited last night and I tweeted something along as Man City must be bricking themselves. Because, let's face it, we dispatched Arsenal, we've dispatched Liverpool, and we've done that by losing at home. We've now won at home. I mean, what sort of team are we that's going out there? And let's face it, 0-0 they were before they nicked it against Palace, at the very last minute, wherever it was. I think they're there for the taking.
They're shaky.
Really? No, they're pumping some sort of gas in this studio. I think you've lost it.
It's very hot in it.
So what are you predicting then, Matt?
Well, better than last time. How's that?
Yeah. I guess, you know what, actually, I think that is the thing about the difference between the start of this season and last season. It was very hopeless towards that second half of the season.
Yep.
You wouldn't have thought, I never imagined for 1 minute we'd get anything against Man City. At the moment, I'm feeling like maybe a result is possible. Where do you stand,
Yes, but
James?
This is where we trip up.
Yeah.
When we get stupidly optimistic and we get any manner of confidence. And that is where it all goes horribly wrong. I'd like to... They're the only team I've watched and I've thought, oh, they look really good. And I think we'll probably lose 3-1.
3-1.
Yeah, I rarely predict a loss, but I can't see us getting anything out of City.
If we win, it could be worse.
Yes.
If we won that, then there'd be Champions League. I also tweeted in my lunacy last night that I'm wondering if I get European tickets with my season ticket next season. Because Chelsea don't do that, by the way.
No. Yeah, Arsenal don't think do they?
I hope Chelsea. It's a problem.
Chelsea in a relegation scrap. That fills me with such joy.
I mean, even
Chelsea losing fills me with such joy.
Yeah.
I can't.
It would have been in the relegation zone if Newcastle won last night. But this conversation is so West Ham. We're talking about problems of whether the European tickets will come with us this year. How quickly we forget. I think I'm going to go for a draw. Hopefully, we'll be able to pin them down. Bilic seems to be organised away from home for the big games. He's a big game manager.
Yeah.
And this, it doesn't get much bigger than this at the moment.
And the Fair Play League, that's out the window. Already,
I like the way we cut that out early doors.
I'm pleased Spurs are in Europe still,
yeah,
because they are going to keep falling.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Excellent, Matt, thank you very much for joining us. I believe you're a force on Twitter, as you've touched on a few times.
Apparently, I am. Yeah,
what's your Twitter handle?
Lorenzo at Lorenzo Matthew.
There you go.
That's me. Although he has people tweeting for him. One of his, they do shifts.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
And Bobby Moore, you go to
Kickstarter
or the Bobby Moore website is
BobbyMooreMovie.com. That's the one.
So remember, even a quid helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a really exciting project. James, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
We'll speak to you after the Man City game. In the meantime,
come on your eyes.